This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. It's a new month. It's Monday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
I'm Nate Burleson. We start this morning with cleanup crews that are scrambling to contain a massive oil spill in Southern California's Surf City. Video from above shows an oil slick covering about 13 square miles. It's forced beaches to close, and wildfire is in grave danger. The worst of it is in Huntington Beach, about 40 miles south of Los Angeles. Lilia Luciano is there. Lilia, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nate. Look, the mayor calls this a potential environmental catastrophe, and it's felt everywhere. One of the most striking scenes I saw yesterday between the crude-filled shore and the boats working on cleanup was a pair of dolphins swimming by, and that's just one of the many species those crews and the teams on land are working to protect.
Thick pockets of sludge continue to wash up along some of Southern California's most popular beaches this morning, coating everything from the sand to the wildlife.
The smell hits you, and there is just gunk everywhere.
At least 126,000 gallons of oil began pouring into the Pacific Ocean over the weekend from an underwater pipeline about 4.5 miles offshore, sending a sheen of oil from Huntington Beach to Dana Point Harbor.
We are in the midst of a potential ecological disaster.
Amplify Energy, which owns the pipeline, shut the line down and suctioned out the remaining oil. The company's CEO also pledged full cooperation with the cleanup effort.
We are investigating the source and potential cause of this incident.
Officials have deployed more than 2,000 feet of protective booms and skimming equipment to try to slow the spread of the oil and prevent any further damage to sensitive marshlands.
How vulnerable is this area, environmentally speaking?
This is one of the most important stretches of coastline along Orange County and possibly in all of Southern California.
Victor Leipzig, conservation director of the Sea and Sage Audubon Society, says the disaster comes at a critical time as several different species of seabirds migrate to the area for the winter.
The spill is only a few hours old, and so how many birds or other wildlife are going to be impacted, what impact it's going to have on vegetation in the marshes along the coast is still yet to be seen.
We've talked about the environmental impact, but there's also an economic impact. The beach is now closed because of the hazard and to make space for the cleanup. But the beach might remain closed for weeks, if not months, according to the mayor. And there's so many businesses all along the shore that depend on beachgoers to survive. Tony?
Some upsetting pictures there from Southern California. Lilia, thank you very much. Now to Washington, President Biden says he will work like hell, direct quote, to bring Democratic lawmakers together, overcoming disagreement about his ambitious agenda. Party leaders insist they just need a little more time. All right, O'Keefe is at the White House monitoring all this for us. Ed, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony. You know, normally here in Washington, work has slowed down because of fights between Democrats and Republicans over big legislation. Well, right now, it's because of fighting amongst Democrats. Liberals and moderates can't agree exactly on how to proceed, and now some activists are confronting two of the senators at the middle of the fight.
And it's because of the lack of worker protections that we don't have.
On Sunday in Arizona, activists followed Senator Kyrsten Sinema into a ladies' room, angered by her opposition to a $3.5 trillion social policy bill.
Build back better, back the bill!
Build back better!
In Washington, other activists have even circled the houseboat of West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who tried addressing their concerns.
And I know it won't be enough for some, and it'll be too much for others.
The anger comes as Democrats blew through their own deadlines, failing last week to pass a bipartisan infrastructure bill and failing to cut a deal amongst themselves over President Biden's Build Back Better plan. The president spent the weekend mostly out of public view.
700,000 COVID deaths. Can we get your reaction, sir?
As other top Democrats say,
they'll keep at it.
Our goal is to get it done in the next month, both bills, and get them passed.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill is expected to eventually pass in the House, but only if a deal is reached on the size and scope of the much larger second bill, packed with changes in health care, education, housing, and climate change policy. Moderates like Manchin say they won't support spending more than $1.5 trillion on the plan. Progressives disagree.
It's going to be somewhere, you know, between 1.5 and 3.5.
New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez explained how progressives might find a way to bring down the price.
I think that one of the ideas that's out there is fully fund what we can fully fund, but maybe instead of doing it for 10 years, you fully fund it for 5 years.
As the talks continue, the president's planning to hit the road to sell the plan, even though we don't entirely know yet what's actually in it. He plans to visit Michigan tomorrow with possible stops later in the week. Gail?
All right. He said he was going to work like hell. Seems like he needs to do that. Thank you very much, Ed. Across the street from the Capitol, the Supreme Court begins a new term today. Court will be held in person for the first time since March of last year. The justices have a very controversial docket in front of them, including cases that challenge a longstanding abortion ruling. Jan Crawford is at the Supreme Court with a look at what's ahead. Jan, good morning to you. First Monday in October. That's what it means. Court's in session. Hello to you.
Yeah, you know, there's kind of like this first day of school vibe up here today, Gail. And let me tell you, a lot has happened since the court last heard arguments in person. We've got a new justice, Amy Coney Barrett, and that's really helped shift the court to the right. They're taking up a host of contentious social issues. They've got gun rights, religious rights, and the most divisive of all, abortion.
Over the weekend, protesters left no doubt what's at stake.
My choice.
The most significant challenge to Roe versus Wade in a generation, a case asking the justices to uphold Mississippi's ban on abortions after 15 weeks.
This is the only clinic in the state of Mississippi.
Shannon Brewer is director of the clinic in Jackson.
I've been here through a lot of different laws that we fought. But this one, this is the one that I can honestly say worries me more than any of them.
The justices will hear arguments in the case in December, with Justice Amy Coney Barrett replacing liberal icon Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Abortion opponents hope this court could finally overturn Roe, the 1973 case that said abortion was a constitutional right. Some states across the country already are preparing for the ruling, with mostly conservative states ready to outlaw or greatly restrict abortion if the court sides with Mississippi, while some liberal ones are passing laws to guarantee that in their states, abortion still would be available. The case comes with the court already in the political spotlight. Polls show public opinion of the court has declined. And there are other contentious cases that surely will divide the justices. In November, the court takes up a major gun rights case challenging a New York law that limits who can carry a concealed weapon for self-defense. It also will decide a religious rights case, whether a tuition assistance program in Maine that bans state money from going to religious schools amounts to discrimination.
Now, this week, the court's going to be one justice short on the bench anyway. Justice Brett Kavanaugh tested positive last week for the coronavirus, so he's going to be working from home today, participating remotely. And then, you know, of course, the building, the court's not taking any chances. The building is still closed to the public. Most members of the media won't be able to attend, but you can listen to these arguments on a live stream through the court's website. Nate?
Jan, thank you. Now, we are approaching a pivotal moment in the COVID fight. The FDA advisory panel meets later this month to decide if the Pfizer vaccine should get emergency approval for children aged 5 to 11. This decision could affect more than 28 million American kids. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus, he joins us right now in studio. Good morning.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Great to be here. I love the new studio.
Yeah,
it's so nice to see you all in person.
Well, it's good to have you. So how soon can we see the first shots in the arms for younger kids?
Oh, the answer is not soon enough. And so later this month, they're going to meet 5 through 11. I've seen the data. It is safe and they work. So really the hope is, you know, towards Halloween or shortly thereafter, we can start vaccinating kids. So by Thanksgiving, they may have received two doses and we can have a safe Thanksgiving. We want to push as quickly as possible. 28 million kids, 9% of the U.S. population in that group. We have to move.
So you mentioned a safe Thanksgiving, which speaks to the potential impact of vaccinating kids. Other than Thanksgiving, big picture, what impact could this have?
Well, we're now getting mandates, right? And we're seeing they're working. You know, when companies say you have to have a vaccine to come to work, we're seeing the numbers go up pretty dramatically within companies, within schools. State of California said you need a vaccine to go to school. So we will get out of this mess and get over Delta when we can increase the vaccination rate. And we're getting there. We add into them these 25 million kids. We're going to be much, much closer. So I feel good about, you know, February, March, April, as we get to there, if we can really come through on these vaccines.
Can we talk about boosters? I'm getting my booster today at high noon. I can't wait. I can't wait to go and get the shot. But
I never thought I would see the day
when
Gayle King says, I can't wait till I can get the shot. This is
because, you know, I'm terrified.
You're blowing my mind here.
I'm terrified of needles. But it's still only for certain groups of people who can get it. Do you think everybody should be getting the booster now? And what's the downside to getting the booster?
Well, that's the key thing, is that, you know, the RNA vaccines, you lose 6% immunity per month. With J&J, the immunity was not as high when they were given them the RNA vaccine. So I do think 40 and older, we should be boosterizing, if there's such a word, everybody. We're going to see FDA meetings over the next 10 days on the Moderna booster and the J&J booster. So a lot more people will become eligible. But these criteria, if you're this age in these conditions, I think we have to make it simpler.
You mentioned safe Thanksgiving. As we approach Thanksgiving, Christmas, even New Year's, should we be hesitant about large gatherings?
Yes, we should be hesitant about large gatherings, as long as everyone is vaccinated and, you know, people high risk can be tested. Testing is still a big part of this. We can gather as families for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but you have to do it right.
But people feel, I've got the double shot and it's still not working. What do you say to people that think, I don't want to get another more medicine?
That's a good question.
I don't want any more.
You don't have to. I mean, it is working. It is blocking most hospitalizations and deaths from COVID-19, but it's not blocking all breakthroughs. You lose about 6% of immunity per month. So a booster will give you protection against most breakthroughs. And it's your option, but I do think if you're higher risk, if you're over 60, you definitely want to be protected. It's just not worth that risk. You want to step up and get that. Remember, it's a new virus.
Yeah,
so this is Delta virus.
People. Yeah.
So with the old virus, we probably wouldn't have needed these boosters. But clearly, a new virus came and changed the game.
Okay, and you lose 6% a month, you said?
6% a month on a good day.
Okay. All right. Thank you, David Agus. Did I mention I'm getting mine at high noon today?
I'm proud of you?
I cannot wait. And I'm terrified of needles. We've got new information on thousands of migrants, most of them from Haiti, who camped out near a U.S. border crossing in South Texas last month. Many of them have made it through some of the most dangerous wilderness on this planet. The Darien Gap between Panama and Colombia is a jungle filled with wild animals, treacherous terrain, and armed criminals. CBS News has reported extensively from this area. Manuel Bojorquez is in Nacoli, Colombia, talking to migrants who are still just trying to get through. Manuel, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Gayle. It is estimated some 16,000 migrants are waiting here in Colombia for a chance to cross this bay to get themselves one step closer to a stretch of jungle known as the Darien Gap. Many of them wait weeks camped out along this beach here. And word that the U.S. has recently deported nearly 7,000 Haitians is doing very little to stop them. A patchwork of tents has replaced the sunbathing tourists that once dotted the beaches of Nekoklí. Its spot along the Caribbean coast has made it the next stop for migrants heading north, like Charez Patrick.
Where do you want to go?
USA. USA.
USA, the United States.
USA.
That's his goal. He fled poverty and violence in Haiti 4 years ago, he says, only to find discrimination and little work in Chile. He has two daughters back home.
A young woman and a girl. So everything you do is for them.
I want to change their life, my family.
You want to change their lives too.
The shortest route from here to Panama is by boat. But that nation's government is only allowing 500 to cross a day, creating a bottleneck. There are clues here pointing to the hard journey ahead.
They want these types of shoes because they know it's so dangerous out there, but they're expensive. So he's only sold two pairs so far.
The danger is the Darien Gap, a 60-mile stretch of lawless jungle so treacherous at least 50 bodies have reportedly been found this year. But the real death toll is estimated to be four times higher. More than 88,000 have already crossed this year. Panama estimates one out of every four
are children. Their roadmap is a network of WhatsApp groups with migrants sharing directions, tips, and warnings.
But you won't go back.
No, don't go back.
No.
My dream is not back. My dream is
after. Your dream is not back. Your dream is north.
First, you must leave Necoclí. Lionel Nelson, his wife, and his infant daughter are about to do just that, an attempt to cross the gap.
That it's very difficult, that there are bandits, bandidos.
But despite the danger, Nelson is determined to push ahead. We were with them as they waited and finally got a chance to board.
Y aquí, a ver, ¿qué pasa? No sé, solo Dios sabe, only God knows.
We followed Leonel and his family as they crossed and handed themselves over to smugglers on the other side to continue their journey. We'll have that part of the story for you tomorrow, right here on CBS Mornings. Tony?
Boy, man, he's showing us the dangers of that journey, and in doing so, suggesting what dangers lay behind. What would you leave behind to do that? That's your choice, Manny. Thank you very much. Look forward to that piece tomorrow.
Catch every episode of 60 Minutes, America's most watched news magazine show, as a podcast. Hear in-depth investigations across politics, news, and entertainment on your schedule. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.